my thanks to God, first and foremost, but I also want to thank everyone for what you did this morning. Hopefully we get a lot out of that, but just singing those songs and reading some passages from God's Word and maybe helping us a little bit to better, edify or build ourselves up from the songs that we sing. Maybe we get a little better understanding of what maybe some of those authors had in mind when they wrote the songs. More importantly, I hope we get what God wants us to know. But again, thank you very much for what you did, for those that led us, and for all the ones that sang out with your voices. It is very encouraging to me, and I hope it is to everyone. Certainly appreciate that, but also when we think about some of these things that we've been talking about, hopefully it'll go into the lesson that I'm going to be giving, because we need to think about some things about our security. When we think about this, many do whatever they think is necessary to be secure. Last week, Roger taught a lesson about being unbroken. And a lot of those, the one example he used of the man that was shot down and went through all of those horrifying things, and there was a movie that they did about his life, and I actually saw an interview that they did with him before he passed from this life. And it's interesting because he remained unbroken because of the need to survive. He really wanted to survive, and later on then in his, as Roger pointed out, in his own way, he did turn his faith toward God, at least to some degree. So when we think about that, people can use their minds to be secure and remain, as he talked about, unbroken. But when we think about our security, people put all kinds of locks on their houses. They do all sorts of things. Some people even put bars on the windows and all kinds of security and alarm systems. And then they put all kinds of weapons in their house to protect themselves. And they just sit there hoping that no one breaks in. And that's their whole life. They just want to. They are so insecure because they're concerned about maybe a neighborhood they live in. And we certainly see neighborhoods around the country where it's very dangerous. And you could easily be killed in those neighborhoods, it seems. And some even have trained security people guarding them. Like a lot of our officials have their trained security people, and some people in businesses have trained security people, and that's their protection, and they feel very secure with those people around them. But we've known in times past that you can have all of that, and things don't really work out all that well. But everybody, I would think, would want security for themselves and for their families. It's just a given. But when it comes to the security of Christians, how do we look at this subject? Do we look at it the same way the world does? Well, I would argue some Christians do. When I talk to them about it, they certainly look at it the same way as the world does. Do we trust in ourselves? Or do we trust in others to take care of us as far as security is concerned? Or do we look to God? Where does true security and long-lasting security exist? Well, let's look at our security. I want to be secure. I don't know about the rest of you, but I want to be secure. I don't want a situation where I'm concerned about my life or anything like that, so a lot of times I don't put myself in certain situations. But there are certain things that I tell you right now, the Bible clearly says, don't put your trust in those. Those will not keep you secure. I don't care who it is they want. The reason I had Dustin, and I asked Dustin to read that, was because we need to rightly divide the Word of God. I asked in class today, I said, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, which one reveals more about God? Well, they immediately said, the Old Testament. When I said, well, which one reveals more about certain things? Well, it's the Old Testament. It is. So we need to know a lot about that to understand the New. As some have put it, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament's the Old Testament revealed. Now, how do we understand the Old Testament? Well, we couldn't without the New. If you don't have the New Testament, you wouldn't understand a lot of those quotes that are given. We brought up today in the class again, and they talked about this in our class, about how there are scriptures that we might not have used, that Christ, say, used, but he understood what those scriptures meant completely. So he explained something about what God had in mind from the very beginning. So from the Old Testament, does the Bible say that we should put our trust in other humans for our security or for anything? Well, it does not. It's better to trust in the Lord to put your confidence in man. Does it mean I can't have some confidence in people? Absolutely. But I will tell you right now, I don't care how many people I have surrounding me, there's still a chance that I could lose my life. Really doesn't matter, does it? Doesn't really matter. You can have all the people in the world around you. How about those things that we possess? Say our houses. Well, Amos 5, 4 through 15. For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and live. This is the same God that we have. That's why I'm confident that He does exactly the same thing today, that He cares for me exactly the same way that He did with them, and that I live under a much better covenant today according to the book of Hebrews. Do not seek Bethel, nor enter Gilgal, nor pass over to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely be put into captivity, and Bethel shall come to nothing. Seek the Lord and live, lest He break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it with no one to quench it in Bethel. You who turn justice to wormwood and lay righteousness to rest in the earth. He made the deities in Orion. He turns the shadows of death in the morning and makes the day dark as night. He calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the face of the earth. The Lord is His name. He's reminding us that none of these things are we in control of. So when we look at it, He rains ruin upon the strong so that fury comes upon the fortress. They hate the one who rebukes in the gate, and they abhor the one who speaks uprightly. People who don't want to do right, who trust in all these things, they don't want to hear the truth about this. They don't want to trust in God. They don't want to believe in God. So what happens? Therefore, because you tread down the poor and take grain taxes for him, though you have built houses of hewn stone. Oh, you built these beautiful houses. How many times of our Wednesday night studies we read about where they built their houses? They thought that was a wonderful thing. They went and did those things and forgot about who? They thought these things will take care of us. These things will protect us. These things will be there for us. Well, let's look at that. Yet you shall not dwell in them. You've planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink wine from them, the grape juice from it. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins, afflicting the just and taking bribes, diverting the poor from justice at the gate. Therefore the prudent shall keep silent this time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil that you may live, so the Lord of God of hosts will be with you as you have spoken. Does it matter what kind of a house you live in? Oh, as long as God is there with you. That's what counts in all of this. Hate evil, love good, establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. How about our riches? Well, that should surely protect us. I mean, don't rich people get all this kind of protection? Aren't they really secure? Let's see. Psalm 49, 6 through 14. Those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother. What, you mean you can't buy out? No, you can't. Nor give to God a ransom for him. You can have all the riches in the world and you cannot pay someone out of hell. It's just not possible to do so. You cannot buy their salvation. Money won't do it. Money does not give you security. It is a temporary thing. For the redemption of their soul is costly, and shall cease forever, that he should continue to live eternally and not see the pit. For he sees wise men die, likewise the fool and the senseless person perish and leave their wealth to others. It doesn't matter. You can be the smartest man in the world, but the least wise person in the world, and have a lot of money. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything when it comes to our eternal security. What happens? Well, they leave their wealth to others. Their inner thought is that their houses will last forever. Their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. And I found this kind of humorous. I mean, you know, that's the so-and-so place. And don't we do that? That's so-and-so's. We do that. How long does it last, though? How long is it the Martin house? And that's what he's trying to tell us. These things are very temporary. Nevertheless, man, though in honor, does not remain. He's like the beast that perishes. This is the way of those who are foolish, and of the posterity who approve these things. Shelah. Like sheep, they're laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them. The upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall be consumed in the grave far from their dwelling. That's a problem with us. We have all these things in life, and we're looking to them. How about our national leaders? Well, surely they'll be there to provide security for us. Isn't that the number one thing in the United States that the president's supposed to do? Isn't that the number one thing to provide for our security? Make sure that we're secure? Can he do that? Can any president ever do that? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul, from Psalm 146, 1 through 4. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. But his spirit departs. He returns to his earth, and that very day his plans perish. How many presidents do we have living today? How many of those presidents can do anything to provide us security, including the one that's in power today? Think about it for a moment. He says, if that's all what you're putting your trust in, be careful. How about earthly weapons? Well, surely those will protect me. Why, I could get all kinds of security being armed to my teeth with those things. Psalm 44, 1 through 8. We've heard with our ears, O God, our Father has told us the deeds you did in their day, in days of old. You drove out the nations with your hand, but them you planted. You afflicted the people and cast them out, for they did not gain possession of the land by their own sword. But didn't they go in and do some fighting? Absolutely. But he's reminding them, the battle belongs to the Lord. Not one of those swords counted for anything unless they were following God. Nor did their own arm save them. Don't ever think, he's saying, that you, in and of yourself, have that kind of security. You do not. But it was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your countenance because you favored them. You are my king, O God. Command victories for Jacob. Though you will, we will push, through you we will push down our enemies. Through your name we will trample those who rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow. This is David. Nor shall my sword save me. He understood what it was all about. But you have saved us from our enemies and have put to shame those who hated us. In God we boast all day long and praise your name forever. Selah. How about some impression or intimidation? We've been reading about this in the book of Nehemiah and how they tried everything. How they tried everything with him. Tried to ridicule him, intimidate him, oppress him. Could they get control over him? No. Trust in him at all times. Psalm 62, 8 through 11, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Surely men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. If they're weighed up on the scales, they're altogether lighter than vapor. I just think of how God puts these things. He can put us all on a scale, and we're vapor. Isn't that what he talks about our lives? Vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. God has spoken once, twice I've heard it, that power belongs to God, not to a person. How about military might? Military might. Doesn't that protect all of our military? No one dies in the military, do they, with all that armament and all that they have? Certainly no one ever dies with all of that, do they? Well, certainly we could put our trust in that and believe that we have security because we proudly say we have the greatest military on the face of the earth. Some trust in chariots and some in horses in Psalm 27 through 9, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen up and stand upright. Save, Lord. May the King answer us when we call. Where's our security? How about some other nations or some other allies? We hear this all the time. Well, if we just all joined together, certainly we'd have security, wouldn't we? Over the whole world, wouldn't we be able to control all of evil? Isaiah 31, 1 through 5. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because there are many and in horsemen because they're very strong. Oh, well, wait. Don't we have weaponry much greater than this? I mean, certainly today this would not apply, would it? Of course it applies today. But who do not look at the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord. How many times anymore do you hear the name of God invoked that He gets the praise and the glory for anything that this country does? Sad, isn't it? Yet he also is wise and will bring disaster and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of evildoers and against the help of those who work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. And I would argue today, the Egyptians today, over that same place, are not God. I don't care how many jets, tanks, or whatever else they have, they're not God. When the Lord stretches out His hand, both he who helps will fall, and he who is helped will fall down. They all perish together. Not in any of these things. Not in any of these. For thus the Lord has spoken to me as a lion roars, and a young lion over his prey. When a multitude of shepherds is summoned against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor be disturbed by their noise. Have you thought about this? Does it really matter how many nation leaders gather against God? He's not at all afraid. Doesn't bother him at all. They are like dust before him. He can take care of all of these nations with the breath of his anger. It is God we put our security in. So the Lord of hosts will come down to fight for Mount Zion and for its hill. Like birds flying about, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending, he will also deliver it. Passing over it, he will preserve it. If he would take care of Jerusalem, don't you know that he'll take care of us, his people, the church? We don't trust in anything. Our security is not found in these. Now, is it good to have a house? Yes. Is it good to have some money? Yes. Is it good to have some of these things? Yes. But he's letting us know. Don't look to those, though. Look to me. And then all of these will work out. Just like he says in Matthew 6, Christ told them, these things will work out. We read in the First Assembly and in the Second Assembly, 2 Timothy 2:19, that the Lord knows those that are His. We need to trust Him with all of our heart. Proverbs 3:5, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. He is our shield. Those who make them are like them, it says in Psalm 115:8 through 11. So is everyone who trusts in them. O Lord, trust, O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. What are we talking about? Well, the shield of that day supposedly looks something like this, according to the Jewish Museum in London, England. And Linden says, I say that wrong, so I'll say. Anyway, it is to protect you. You could move it around and protect yourself against any weaponry. Well, God is our shield. We don't even have to move Him. He's there. He's our stronghold. Nahum 1, 2 through 7. God is jealous and the Lord avenges. The Lord avenges and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on His adversaries and He reserves wrath for His enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord has His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. And think of how many times we've observed how many people have died in whirlwinds and storms. It's not a problem with Him. It's not a problem. He rebukes the sea, makes it dry and dries up all the rivers. Basham and Carmel wither and the flower of Lebanon wilts. The mountains quake before Him, the hills melt, and the earth heaves at His presence, yes, the world and all who dwell in it. Who can stand before His indignation? Who can endure the fierceness of His anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by Him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows those who trust in Him. Of course, we don't have these strongholds today like they used to have. Areas like this where people could go and be secured from their enemy, at least to some degree. And it took something to knock one of these down, just these strongholds. And you can also use the word fortress we're going to talk about. He is our refuge and fortress, according to Psalm 91, 1 through 7. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I find this so beautiful, so comforting. I can abide there. I can abide there with Him, just like they could. Almighty, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Surely He will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. What a beautiful picture of a like a bird that we can be covered completely by Him. His truth, as was pointed out in the prayer, His word shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Think about that for a moment. He can hold off 10,000 people from me. I believe this just as much today as David believed it then. God will take care of me. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. That to me, it still exists today. That's a huge fortress. And it sure looks to me like you could not go against that fortress. And yet every one of these fortresses, I don't care where they are, someone at some point or another took them down. It is the most amazing thing. They do not provide that type of security. He's our everlasting strength. This is the most important thing. It's not temporary. It's not just on this earth. Isaiah 24:1-4. In this that day, the song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nature, which keeps the truth, nation which keeps the truth, may enter in. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. He will keep us in perfect peace. I don't care how much turmoil is going around us. We are at peace because we know what we have in him. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. He is all those things. That's where our security is, in him. So how can he secure us? I'm living here on earth. That's not possible, is it? Well, he knows those that are his. I read a couple of weeks ago, and I want to read it to you again, on Wednesday night. Some of you were not here. Ezekiel 9:1-11. To me is so powerful in pointing out this to each and every one of us. Then he called out my hearing, this is Ezekiel, with a loud voice saying, "Let those who have charge over the city draw near, each with a deadly weapon in his hand." And suddenly, six men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his battle axe in his hand. One man among them was clothed with linen and had a rider's ink horn at his side. They went in and stood beside the bronze altar. So in his vision, he's seeing these men go into the temple where the altar is. Now the glory of the God of Israel had gone up from the cherub where it had been to the threshold of the temple. So these men are already inside of Jerusalem. They're already inside the very temple itself. And he called to the man clothed with linen who had the writer's ink horn at his side, and the Lord said to him. Now remember where they're coming from. They're going to be coming from the temple. Why is that important? Because why are they by the altar there? Because that's the place of sacrifice. That's the place where people should have been confessing their sins and bringing their sacrifices. From there, God knows who's been doing it, who has not, who has forgiveness, and who has not. So he says, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it. It's mankind, both man and woman. So he says, I want you to go through the city, and I want you to put a mark on their forehead. Then to the others he said in my hearing, go after him through the city and kill. Do not let your eye spare nor have any pity. Utterly slay old and young men, maidens and little children and women. But do not come near anyone on whom is the mark. And begin at the sanctuary. Why there? Again, that's where everything was known. That's where God came to meet them. So they began with the elders who were before the temple. Isn't this scary? The very men who should have been leading. They went to them first. Then he said to them, defile the temple. Fill the courts with the slain. Go out. And they went out and killed in the city. So it was that while they were killing them, I was left alone. And I fell on my face and I cried out and said, "Ah, Lord God, will you destroy all the remnant of Israel in pouring out your fury on Jerusalem?" Then he said to me, "The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great. And the land is full of bloodshed and the city full of perversity. For they say, 'The Lord has forsaken the land and the Lord does not see.'" Security. What were they basing their security on? Their great army. What they thought they could do against Babylon. "As for me also, my eye will neither spare nor will I have pity, but I will recompense their deeds on their own head." Just then, the man clothed with linen who had the inkhorn in his side reported back and said, "I have done as you commanded me." You see, the Babylonians had already come to Israel. They had already attacked them a couple of times. And they had already taken many into captivity. They had even taken Daniel and Ezekiel. They were certainly, Jeremiah still there in that city trying to tell them, he's going to destroy Jerusalem. And there they are, saying, no, he lies. And they had these prophets to lie and say, "No, we're safe. We're safe." And they weren't. How is it possible that Nebuchadnezzar is coming back to destroy Jerusalem? And I'm going to tell you, he took it down to nothing. Took the walls down. We've been discussing this in Nehemiah when he came to build it back. There's nothing left there. They had to come back and rebuild the temple. They had to rebuild it all. How would it be possible during a bombing that someone that God wanted to be saved could be saved? It's not possible, is it? Oh yeah, it's possible. It's possible with God. He was letting Ezekiel know, "I've got the remnant I want. I've got the ones who've cried over the..." How was it that when he came through and just was killing people, and he's using this figuratively for these men that are going through and killing them, how's it possible? Because God knows those that are His. If we're His, He knows us. He will take care of us. I don't care what happens to us in this life, He will take care of us. How could He possibly protect the faithful, the remnant? Because with God, all things are possible. He gives Ezekiel a clear picture of His power and might in this vision. That it's not a problem with Him. He can take care of anyone He wants to. I have used this before, that Christians are hidden in plain sight. It is the most amazing thing, isn't it, how God can take care of us. Think of all the days that He's taken care of you. How that maybe there were things that happened around you and you weren't involved at all, but on that day He took care of you. Or you didn't get to go somewhere and He took care of you. I've heard of, I don't know how many instances where people could have been in trouble, but somehow or another, the providence of God stepped in. God is our strength and our salvation. And in that day you will say, "O Lord, I will praise You, though You were angry with me. Your anger is turned away and You comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song." And I thought about this today as we were singing those songs. "He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation." As Jesus said, you can draw from that well. He told that woman, and you can have salvation. And you can draw from it how often? As often as you need. God does not give us a limit. He's there for us. He is our salvation. And in that day, you will say, "Praise the Lord. Call upon His name. Declare His deeds of among the peoples. Make mention that His name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for He's done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst." He will never leave us nor forsake us. I'm going to leave us with this thought. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. You're starting to see now this verse, doesn't it, sum up all those things that we put our trust in? Just be content with what you have. For He Himself has said, and this is why we can be content, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," so we can boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. He said, just look at those ones that have their faith in God. Look at those ones in this room that have their faith in God. They believe God will take care of them, will secure them, will keep them from harm. And then even when things happen in this life, He will keep us from eternal harm which is the most important thing. We can have an eternal abode with Him. All of those things are important. To be pleasing to God, though, we've got to put total trust. Not just partial, total trust in Him. We've got to believe He can do it. We don't want to, as Christ said, fear Him and destroy the body, but fear Him and destroy both body and soul in hell. If we have confidence in God, we know He'll keep us eternally secure if we will continue His Word. I have no doubt about that. It's not because I think I'm so great and I deserve salvation. I do not. I deserve damnation, but I am so thankful that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. And I am thankful He's told me that He'll give me eternal life as long as I try to remain faithful to Him. Do you want that security today? You want that kind of security that will last eternally? Then obey His Word. Would you do so while together we stand and sing?